As we share together in this time of global crisis, a global pandemic, there are many people who feel that we're standing still. And there is a kind of standing still that goes nowhere. There's a standing still that goes backwards. But there's also a standing still that can go forwards. And there is a way in which, as Moses spoke to the people of Israel when they got to the Red Sea, they were able to stand still and see the salvation of their God. So those words were spoken by Moses at the Red Sea, and Israel marched forward to a new beginning. It was a new beginning of seeing God supernaturally at work in their lives. Every life can have this new beginning of seeing God at work. He's at work in all of our lives. But we can embrace this with a life of faith. Let me read that scripture to you. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of your God, which he will accomplish for you today." This is the story of Israel crossing the Red Sea after escaping out of Egypt and with the Egyptian army chariots in pursuit. The people of Israel had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years, 2 million of them, with no concept of God. They'd been without prophets, except for their new leader Moses, and there was yet no priesthood, or commandments, or tabernacle. They were glad to be out of there, but then they were horribly disappointed and disillusioned by the fact that there was an impassable Red Sea in front of them. And they believed that they'd been brought out of slavery only to be killed by their pursuers. This was a first for Israel. They had not had to have faith before, and now their faith was a matter of standing still and watching what God would do to save them. This was confusing for them, because this is a difficult lesson for anyone to learn. We think we must do something in order to make something happen. But it is always really about what God is doing. And then there is always something for us to do in response. It's just a matter of when and how we do what is required of us. The first thing Israel had to do was to stand still and see. Then Moses held out the rod over the waters, and the waters opened up. They saw the work of God. Then Israel had to get moving and cross over. The sea divided with a high wall of water on both sides and a passageway between the walls of water so that they could walk through. Moses had to be obedient to what God told him to do. Then Israel had to be obedient to what Moses told them to do. And 2 million people had a head start and crossed on dry land. And when the Egyptians got to the passageway, they saw the walls of water and they thought they could just go straight through. But God miraculously removed the wheels off the Egyptian chariots and they became stuck in the sand. Then when Israel was safely across, Moses held out the rod above the waters again and the sea closed in on the Egyptians. It is a detailed story in the book of Exodus. But when we come to the New Testament, we see Paul simply write this one sentence in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, and he says, "By faith, Israel crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." There was another stand still and see from God's word to King Jehoshaphat that came through Jehaziel the prophet. And let's look at that word. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this was the word to Jehoshaphat. "You'll not need to fight in this battle, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you." In that battle of Jehoshaphat, the enemy armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were all the way from up towards, which is now Syria, and down into Canaan, they were about to attack Israel. Israel were told not to attack these three nations when they first came out of Egypt, but now these three nations were about to dispossess Israel from their inheritance. They were mighty armies, and the people were in fear and terror. Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord, and he said, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. The Bible goes on to say, And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were destroyed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and destroyed them first. And when they'd made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. So they all began to ambush one another, and by the time Israel appeared on the scene, ready for battle, there were dead bodies everywhere, and the fight was all over. And it took Israel 3 days to gather up all the spoil from the treasuries of those opposing armies. So these two accounts of God's salvation apply to the nation of Israel, and they were God's old covenant people. But these are examples that apply to us today as God's people, us, as his family in the world, and as his army. We can learn from these examples that we can be here for God and for each other and for our own spiritual edification and growth. We are here to honour God by responding to his love for us through our faith in him, trusting in his goodness to us. We are here together in this situation we're in right now, where we are looking at this example of standing still to see the salvation of our God. We're here carrying one another's burdens, praying and blessing one another, and receiving blessing and prayer from one another. We're here together for this world, sharing in our prayers together for this world and for those in authority in this world, that they will be equipped and blessed by God to serve in a godly way in our nation. And we can also take these truths of God's words and apply them to our personal walk with God. These are for our encouragement and spiritual growth and comfort as we make him Lord of our lives. So those stories were about seeing the salvation of God in the Old Testament and Old Covenant way, because they saw God win the battle for them in the physical realm. Today we see the salvation of God through the eyes of faith, of the New Testament, the New Covenant way. Jesus has become our salvation. When Jesus died for us and rose again from the dead, he overcame all the powers of darkness on our behalf. He then sent the Holy Spirit to join the life of Jesus to us so that we could experience this salvation and this life of victory over darkness. They did physical warfare, we do spiritual warfare. We can receive peace from God, knowing that he alone can work upon and change the nature of things and the hearts of people, and that he is the Creator God, who alone can bring order out of chaos, and the one who spoke light into darkness on the day of creation. Our battle is against darkness, and it is about chaos and disorder. And we have his word to speak into that and see the salvation of God on our behalf. They had their armor on and their weapons ready, and that was in the physical realm, and so do we in the spiritual realm. We can have our armor on and our weapons ready, but this requires faith, real faith. Paul explains spiritual warfare to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, that word carnal means of a natural human order as opposed to a supernatural spiritual order. He tells us that these spiritual weapons are mighty in God, able to destroy the potential strongholds that darkness would hope to occupy in our minds and in our hearts. Darkness seeks to occupy territory that we have given to God. It's His place to occupy our minds and our hearts. And that is as we partake of the life of His Spirit within us and we welcome the residence of Jesus and the Father into our hearts. That's their home in us, as it says in John 14. And Paul knew how to put his armor on, and he tells us how we can do it. And it means being protected in our minds and hearts by that armor. He says in Ephesians 6, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the times of evil. And having done all, to stand. And that's how we stand and see the salvation of our God. In the same passage of Scripture, Paul talks about our spiritual armor and that we wrestle not against people, but against dark spirits that influence principalities, which are simply social demographic regions where the culture of states and cities is being expressed. He tells us that we also wrestle against powers that buffet our personal souls. He tells us that we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And that means the darkness that has influenced the collective mindsets and ideologies and attitudes of the global atmosphere that exists in this time of worldwide crisis. By the way, that word wrestle in the original language in Scripture is telling us that we overthrow, not just struggle. So that word wrestle, overthrow, is an assertive statement, not a timid one. And we are also told that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Paul mentions some strategic spiritual defensive pieces of armor, such as a helmet protecting the mind and our thoughts. And he talks about a spiritual breastplate over the heart that protects us from fear. The head and the heart are the two most vulnerable parts of the body in warfare. In spiritual terms, the mind is the stronghold to where darkness directs his primary attack. We're directed in the scripture that I referred to above to overthrow the imaginations of our minds that would seek to block us off from getting our minds on God and His power and His love. These imaginations are the negative, emotionally driven regrets or disappointments of the past. Or they can be the anxious menace of an uncertain future that we can so easily attach our thoughts to. Going back to the past can be very attractive, you know, how things used to be. And then going into the future is like a magnet. You just get drawn there. What is going to happen? We're directed to bring our thoughts captive to the present moment that contains the ever-present presence of God with us through the indwelling Holy Spirit, who reveals the reality of the power of Jesus to reorder our lives. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. The present moment is always there, so God is always present. The point is, are we always there? The Lord can be present, but to know He's present, we have to be present at that moment. And that takes a way of redirecting thoughts and imaginations from those attractive places, well, let's say magnetic places like the past and the future, into the reality of the present moment, where we can say we can stand still and see the salvation of our God, because it is working at all times on our behalf. Let's seek to capture that in our lives. Whenever we stop and stand still, times of prayer during the day, times of drawing aside in reflection, times of saying, Lord, increase my faith. It happens in the present moment, in his presence. Now that's being renewed in the spirit of your mind. We magnify the reality of God's supernatural activity above the unreality of our anxious imaginations about everything that might be going wrong or may go wrong. The other vulnerable area of our body that comes under attack is our heart. That is where either fear or faith can dwell. The Bible says that with the heart man believes. Darkness fires darts of doubt and fear into this stronghold of our relationship with God. And we are given a shield of faith to protect ourselves from this kind of attack. Paul also mentions spiritual weapons, like the sword, which speaks of the word of God. And the Bible also says that faith comes by hearing that living word of Jesus, not just in our mind, but in our heart. So that shield of faith is then empowered by the word of faith, that sword which we have, which then speaks against the doubts and fears and the intimidation and the condemnation that we're not worthy, or something that we feel perhaps disqualified in. We don't have that position, that status in God. Oh, yes, we do. The word of faith tells us that. In the same way, really, that the people under Jehoshaphat were told, position yourselves, stand still and see, and to fear not. So what I was just talking about was how to position yourselves. So we position ourselves at that moment, and our position is as partners together with God. We're partakers of his nature. We are joint heirs together with Jesus. Now that's the word of God. That's a sword. And that sword brings the shield of faith into a mighty place of protection and a place of moving forward to hear God for further direction and the release of an anointing upon our lives of peace and a place of guidance and activity. Now that's a gift of God's grace. We don't earn that position, but we dare not neglect it, especially in these times in which we live now. So let's look at that command or that directive that Moses gave to Israel, that Jehaziel spoke to Jehoshaphat to tell the people as they went into war. We stand still, we see, we fear not, neither be dismayed. The Lord our God is with us. So let's look at standing still again. We come into a place of readiness and alertness in our spirit, not passively, but actively, mindful of the now moment of God's ever-present presence with us. We see, that is seeing by faith, as opposed to seeing things happen the way Israel did at the Red Sea and the ambushing of the enemies in Jehoshaphat's battle. We become conscious of the fact that God is at work in the world of the unseen. The outward seen will come if you have been seeing by faith, knowing that God is at work. This seeing by faith is the believing. That's the faith and trust and expectation of God to act and produce his result for us to wonder at and to give thanks for. That's on its way. And that expectation is our hope. It's a buoyancy that lifts us into a present moment assurance of the greatness and goodness of God. We then fear not, and neither be dismayed. That means we magnify God's greatness above our weakness. For the Lord your God is with you. And with that, I'd just like to close by bringing a blessing upon all of us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.